we go. Welcome, Tara Taylor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. So why don't we start with a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are? Because I know from talking to you earlier that your journey is definitely continuing and taking you in a whole different direction. But let's not go there yet. Let's talk about what really is your journey been about, and how did you get here, and what kind of started it? And let's talk about that.
Sure. Well, I basically how it all works is I come actually from a really good family, and I'd say roughly around the age of seven. I thought it was normal that when you sat in class or you were around people that you would naturally see colors and auras. And to me, this was just normal. I thought everybody did these sort of things, right? So with that being said, about the age of seven, I remember like it was yesterday, that's when things sort of started to change for me in the aspect that I actually started to see figures. And the first time that it really, my clairvoyance really started to come out was we had just moved into my new place with my parents. And originally my parents had a place out in Greeley, which is about 20 minutes outside of Ottawa. And they moved into the city because they didn't want us hitchhiking into Ottawa because they were both from the country themselves. So we moved in, and I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw these white figures, and at the time they were carrying, looked like they were carrying presents, and they were starting from the doorway of my room and obviously disappearing, but going into, almost looked to another area into the middle of my room. Now, the first initial reaction that I had is I wasn't scared. I was more fascinated. And then right after that, that fear set in, which has a lot to do with what my journey is about studying ego, because we say roughly our egos start to form around that time. See, before that, you know, lights and those sort of things, I just thought that was normal. With that being said, around that time, too, my papa died, and a lot of these things, my clairvoyance, my clairaudio really started to come to, and I would just know things, and I know even with my poor parents and struggling, wondering what to do and not knowing, I guess at the time, how to deal with me. I was such a sensitive child, especially getting report card things. She's really creative, but she's not really paying attention. but you know, or she has quite the imagination, right?
Right.
So, you know, just a typical child, but very quiet. I was such an observer, being visual. I was so fascinated in watching everything around me and watching certain spirits around other people, and but never really wanted to say much. And I think that had a lot to do with the fact that when I was younger, I was brought up Protestant, Anglican, and being in Sunday school and learning all how all those sort of things were wrong. And so I was quite afraid, thinking more as I got a little bit older, that this was more of a curse. So through my teenage years, I would try to do everything against it of saying, nope, I just, my big thing was, to me, I just want to be normal. There's no such thing as normal. So I laugh about that till today. But and you know, it's funny, the harder that I tried to get away from it, the stronger it would come at me. And, you know, struggling with that with my teenage, and I'm really trying to, I guess in essence, even as a teenager, trying to fit in, but I never actually fit in. My mom always liked to say that, you know, I was a leader, but at the same time, it was a protection for me. So I would always be counseling everybody else. And it's like my good girlfriend, actually, Cindy Benson, who's passed on to the other side. She, when she comes through, she always sings this song, The Loneliest Girl. Because that's the way I've always felt, is that, yes, I had all these people around me, and I naturally counseled, but I didn't really have anyone that I could trust, or I felt that I could trust to say, this is, you know, this is what I see, and all these sort of things. Now, there did come a day when I was 19, I had moved out with two of my girlfriends, and being the little experienced Taurus that I am, and we moved into a place down on the, it was right on the corner of King Edward and Stewart, and it's up on the third level. And I remember when we first walked in there, I'm like, something's not right, but my girlfriends wanted it, and I was like, okay, we'll go in there. Well, the first night I was in, this presence was there, and that's when things really started to turn. It was the first time that I ever felt a presence that wasn't happy, if I could put it in the right way.
Right. And how old were you?
I was 19 at the time. And before then, everything was, I like to say, warm fuzzies, really, as much as I didn't want to have anything to do with it in my teenage years.
How fortunate
for you. Of course not. You know, but it was warm fuzzies. There wasn't any sort of, 19 was the first time that I actually experienced in that apartment, three-level apartment. Now, I found out later that it was the building was actually owned by Gorifay Antiques, and it was a full-on house at one time. And it was a gentleman that lived there. And I told my girlfriends, I said, especially my one girlfriend, Erin, I said, you know, there's a man here. And at nighttime, I would, even when I was little, I used to pull it over my face, but I would pull my covers right over because just like anything, it's like the moth to the flame. They know that that you can see. And it's almost like they keep coming around. And what happened was, I would tell the girlfriends, I didn't sleep well. I used to, you know, back then, of course, you know, drinking was a big thing. The nightcaps were good enough for me to just make me go to sleep because that's what I was most afraid of. And he didn't mean any harm. It was just more his spirit. He was almost in that kind of, I call the limbo stage, the lost soul sort of stage. He hadn't realized that he had passed, but he wanted so badly to be noticed. And then it got to the point where he ended up, the taps would go full on, and the girls started recognizing this, and they'd be like, oh, Tara, she's just being herself. And I'm like, guys, I'm serious. Like, this is, I'm not kidding around. And there was times where, like I said, he'd put the taps right on, and the whole apartment would flood, and nobody would be in the kitchen. I'm like, see? I'm not making this up, guys. And then he ended up showing himself to my girlfriend in the room, and she was really against this sort of stuff. So that's when she goes, I totally believe. I said, well, these sort of things. And I called my mom, and I said, Mom, you know, I can't stay here. I've been there about 6 months. And she said, you know what? I've got somebody that you need to go see. And she goes, she's a clairvoyant, and she has an angel store. It's called Annabelle's Angel Store. And I said, yeah, no, of course this is me. Yeah, what is she going to tell me that I don't already know? Ego. Right? So getting to the point of, no. So I walk in there, and by God, talk about spiritual transformation and God consciousness. I had, you know, filled myself up with so much toxins and so much, I guess I surrounded myself with so much negativity in those times because I was really trying to get away from it. I would say there's the fork in the road, and I was on the opposite side, and I was going to get a swift kick in the butt to get to the other side, back on where I was supposed to be on track for my life mission, because I was avoiding it like the plague. Every time, the big joke of my two is that my ego wanted to be a Much Music VJ, but every time I tried to push down that door, it would never happen, and my spirituality and my visions would get stronger, and I'd be like, no, and I'd be like squeezing my eyes shut, you know, no, I don't want to do this, and I'm going to go kicking and screaming. So I went in there, and I sat down with her that morning, and she looked at me, and she said, you better smarten up. And I just kind of, you know, of course, just said, hey, how does she know? And she said, you've got a big mission here, and it's not about you. Don't be so selfish. And I said, and this was, I was a sort of personality back then.
At this point, you were how old?
This is when I was 19.
Oh, you were still 19.
I was still 19.
Okay.
And I was just, you know, and I had big issues. Being an indigo, nobody tells me what to do. Authority figures and I don't really get along. I'm very pleasant and very respectful, but it's one of those things, if you don't give me respect. So this was a person to really stand up to me. And I was, and she just said, you know, basically, I know about you. I know you see. I know you hear. You got to start, you know, not being so selfish and start. Anyway, so I just looked at her and my feet, I'll never forget it. And this was something just like yesterday. I remember my ego yelling so loud, run, get out of there. And I went, and I remember wanting to move my body. And then I felt like this weight just smacked my body down in that chair. And my feet felt like they were 50 pounds. I couldn't move. And my head flipped back. And as if, and I felt like I was struggling to breathe. And I was so scared in that first couple seconds. And then I took this gasp. And then I just started just crying, and I remember all of a sudden this sense of peace came over my whole body, and it was not of this energy field at all. And that's when I could feel and see these blue lights surrounding my whole body. And Cindy said to me, "They're removing everything now. Now is time. You can't delay anymore." And then after that, I remember not kind of being able to breathe, but it was okay, and I was safe. And I just remember putting my head down. Now, as far as Cindy told me, like an hour had passed and all this is happening. And I looked at her, and everything completely changed, and she just said, "Now you're ready." And I just, and then that was it, and then everything changed. And I basically got down on my knees that day, and I said, "Fine, if this is what you want me to do, then show me." And they've been swinging the doors open ever since.
Wow.
So Aunt Cindy ended up being my mentor, and that's how it all, again, nothing, everything happens for a reason, and helped me to understand how to turn it on and turn it off. And I think that had a lot to do with my frustrations, especially being younger, when my ego started to form around seven, is just saying, okay, so I go to tell somebody, oh, so-and-so, or you know, it's almost like trying to say in a way, but didn't want people to think I was different, but I couldn't not say something, and I was so afraid, and I was fearful, and my own ego was saying, people are going to think I'm crazy, and really coming to terms with that and learning how to turn it on and off, and throughout those my teenage years, I was always on, so I never knew how to deal with it. And then I'd say roughly around the age of 15, I started getting, my body started getting really sick. I was a really healthy child, and my body just got really sick. I'd get ulcers and all sorts of problems. And it was all, now that I look back, it's because I was internalizing. But because I wasn't born a feeler, I was born clairvoyant, clairaudio. And I always say we're born with one, and then there's other ones that can either enhance through your lifetime or others can be learned. Mm-hmm. I ended up having to learn now how that my body would naturally absorb, but I didn't understand that it was breaking down because I wasn't taking care of it, because I was just filling myself up and not creating a balance when helping others.
Wow.
And then through that, I think throughout that whole lifetime or up to now, I've always been fascinated, and I think more of being little and watching things in my path is, I keep going back to ego, because being on my spiritual path and what I've studied and what I've gone through is my biggest thing is, because I've struggled with my own ego and watching others struggle with it, there's so much to say about understanding the duality within ourselves and what holds us back. And to truly understand God consciousness, we have to start from the core of understanding our ego.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly believe that my personal journey in this lifetime has to do with educating people on confronting their ego and understanding that, you know, we come to that question of, you know, do we rid ourselves of ego? And I actually say no. And some people will, there's controversy with that, and that's okay. I'm always saying that's good. I want your ego to come back to me and say that. And the reason for that is that without our ego, we cannot fully emerge ourselves in our physical existence. I would not be who I am without that struggle within.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's where what so many of us on the spiritual path are trying to understand, especially with manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get time and time again with my clients, I'm trying to manifest this, I'm trying to manifest that. And I always say, well, careful what you wish for, but how are you asking? Everything is key on how you ask. And if you're coming from a place of ego and it's not coming to you, there's a reason for it. So you've got to ask yourself, why do I want this? Or is it a want or a need? It's that old saying, is this a want or a need?
Right.
Because this, whatever you may be trying to be manifest may not help you for your life purpose.
Mm.
You know, and with this journey, I'm blessed with in so many amazing people in my life. And ever since that 19, and since that day that my life completely transformed and got me back on track, I've had such amazing people come into my life. It's just, and I believe we are always surrounded with amazing people, but it's a consciousness that of the energy that I was putting out at that time because I was in denial of myself. I also attracted people that were in denial.
Sure.
Wow. But, yeah.
So. Quite a journey.
Quite a journey. Yes. Still going.
It's definitely still going. But I'm hearing that your journey right now is to get you quiet so you can write about the ego.
That's right. I have, there's been a book I've been working on for the last 4 years, and something with my own egos. I've got a hard time saying no. And because I have my own practice here in Ottawa, I've got White Light Wellness, and then I opened up another practice called the Angel Consultants with my partner Sylvie Brulé, which is an amazing woman. I do intuitive counseling, readings, more guidance readings than anything, and Reiki Master, IT Master Instructor. So I am known for that. And because I see people in my own office, and then I also do clients, I have clients in the United States and clients over in Europe and UK. I get a lot of phone calls, and you know, yes, I need to create balance in my life, but you know, it's hard for me to say no. And then when I get home, I'm to the point where I'm like, well, I don't want to write right now.
So the
universe came in and said, okay, well, you need to get this done by 2008. And every time I would do meditations, they were saying, get the book done. I'm like, yes, I know. And then, of course, procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
So they've upped and decided that I'm moving to Calgary.
Right.
With all that being said, I was like, okay, so that's what I need to do to get the book finished. So it's the I would say everything is divine timing, but my timing is running out. I'll put it that way, in the sense of they're saying, it's time for you to get done. We're going to give you that kick again and say, Tara, it needs to get done. So, yes. And the book is actually going to be called Let Go My Ego. My good friend Peggy McColl is forwarding it. And it's basically we're going through understanding the dualities. You know, what exactly is the ego? What's the difference between the higher self and the ego? With all that being said, what do we do with it? How do we get to God's consciousness? Exercises on ego, client situations of ego, just so that we understand that it's okay that you have these thoughts or these voices. You are in your human existence. You are going to have, quote-unquote, negative thoughts is what you choose to do with them.
And how you react
and
your emotions.
And I think that's where we struggle. We beat ourselves up because we're, no, I'm not supposed to think like that. But you know what? Yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because without those thought processes, you can't grow.
Hmm.
So, and I find that we really struggle. We always focus on being positive. Yes, but it's okay that you're going to have these thoughts. We just don't act on it and recognize it. And the more that you recognize it, the less these thoughts come in.
Right.
I'm sure we all have that. We all have an argument within ourselves before we make any decision. Even right now, I'm dealing with that, trying to house hunt.
Yes.
But, I mean, do you have any major examples that stick out of saying, you know, when you really first recognized that duality within yourself?
No, when you know, that duality is truly what assists us to grow, because you either have, you know, something that pushes you, you know, which, you know, talk about the pain body or however you wanted to look at it. There's something that you have that pushes you forward on your journey. Sometimes, you know, a lot of people you hear have accidents, you know, or something happens to them physically and that pushes them. And other people, you know, to me, it was always career. So, you know, I was in a government position, in a management position, and, you know, one day somebody came to me and, you know, started talking about their pain body and not really knowing at that point any of this stuff because it was a while ago.
Right.
And just, you know, listening to them and going, God, you know, you're so unhappy. Why are you here? And then it hit me square in the heart or the head or something. It was like, oh, lead by example. Crap. I can't expect you to do something if I can't do
it.
So, and that's, you know, that was kind of, you know, I had such a challenging time in the government because it so wasn't who I was and it wasn't nurturing me in any way. And, you know, and I had a boss that, you know, allowed me to grow, to know that this isn't what I wanted. And so, you know, for that, I will always be grateful because she pushed me beyond my comfort zone and allowed me to see that, you know, this isn't who I am. And it really wasn't. I mean, I was criticized as a manager for being too friendly. You know, like, it's like, oh, you know, I think that's actually a good quality.
Exactly.
You know, that's really who I am.
Yep.
So yes, you have to have these experiences in your ego and your pain body, or else how would you get pushed forward?
How would you grow? Mm-hmm. How would we be on soul's mission, life progression? Like, it just wouldn't, that's what, you know, when I do seminars and people talk, well, you know, I really want to get rid of my ego and I really, you know, want to rid the self of it. And I'm like, no, that's not what you want. You want to get to know your ego, become friends with it, you know, because that is where you truly get connected with God consciousness. That's where you are going to spiritually grow and completely full out, be able to live out your full life's mission.
Hmm.
It's a beautiful thing. It's just, you know, knowing that, it's, you know, your pain, it's coming from, ego comes from a place of fear and jealousy and all these sort of things. And then we have, and then it's the other, you know, swing of the pendulum. It also comes from a place of, I'm better. I'm, you know, I love to use this as an example. Ooh, look at me. I talk to dead people, you know. You know, and it's like, I see angels, you know. But no, we're all in one source and we're all connected and we're no special in anybody special than anyone else. It's the fact that we just have been able to connect and understand that, and that if I can do that, I can show that to you, mm-hmm. and you can do that. And it's almost like, it reminds me of the movie Pay It Forward, but doing it in a spiritual way, mm-hmm. saying, I see, let me help you see.
Right.
You know, and that's the beauty in it. And I find that and I think that you knowing being in the government, I've got a couple of clients that are, you know, in there and saying, you know, I want out. And I said, maybe that's not, you may think that you want out in this time, but there's something that needs to happen. That's why those doors aren't opening. Don't try to shove those doors open, mm-hmm. because you're also dealing with other people's ego. So the more that you deal with other people's ego, the better you get to know your ego.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the more you shine your light, the more the light gets shined into those areas. So
that's
sometimes
right.
people are meant to stay. And, you know, I would never push anybody on this path of doing it independently, and
that's right.
because it's, you know, it's not for everybody. You really need to be strong, and you really need to be able to connect with people. And it's a lot more work than it sometimes sounds from some people when they talk about what they do and how, you know, the universe provides. You just have to, you know, it's like, oh my God, if I hear that one more time.
If I hear that one more time, I'm going to scream. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, it does provide, but you know, you got to
work
through
at
and
it.
Understand your ego.
That's
which is
right.
blocking you from the universe providing.
That's right. And I think that too, from an outsider's point of view, they go, what a lovely life. Well, yes, but on the other side, it's a lot of work. I always say to people, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm. You know, yes, we have a point where we can shut off a little bit, but it's always there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are servers, I guess, in an essence, as part of our life purpose. We are here to serve.
Yeah.
And when I teach, I've got a lot of intuitive people that I train to help them to understand their own gifts and have them go out into the field. And I come from a place of saying, you know, it comes to a point that when you're sitting with somebody and you're giving them guidance or you're doing a session with them, you have to realize this is not about you. So that place of judgment, like, you have to almost tell your ego to stand at the door. Yes, it's part of you, but it's like you can't just go home and, you know, say, okay, hang up your hat. It doesn't, because you've got to stand and then work on yourself to make sure that your body is in balance, make sure that you've checked out your chakras, your consciousness here on this earth plane, because, yes, we will absorb other people's energy. I say we're like sponges, and we throw ourselves into water, and we just absorb, because I always say we have to be 120% to give 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because we are dealing in such, and I always say in a different energy field, mm-hmm. Because we are constantly doing an energy exchange and heart chakra work naturally. And I mean, I know that you experience that on a daily level too. So, you know, but it is true that our bodies are the first little red flags that say, you know. Something's, you know, you're not doing your homework when you get home. So, you know, it's very, very fascinating with that. And I think, too, the hardest thing I've got a lot of my clients struggle with, and what I've been coaching them with, is, you know, what is the difference between higher self and ego? Like, what is it? And I always say to people, your higher self speaks first. Your ego speaks directly second. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of examples, kind of funny, especially for women, and we can just use it on a physical level. Women, hardest thing to buy, jeans, right? Right? So we go out and we buy jeans. We're standing in front of that mirror and we can throw it. It doesn't matter if we're zero, doesn't matter if we're, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So we'll turn around and we'll look at our lovely high knees and we'll say, oh, looks good. And then right after be like, yeah, but, I always say it's that yeah, but. That's where ego goes right into that and starts saying, yeah, but this, and we'll find flaws in everything. Now, that's on a physical, and we do that to ourselves, right, naturally. And then there's, you know, a situation of get a new position. Somebody gets offered a new position. They'll say, oh, you know, I'm qualified. And yeah, but that's when the fear set in. So I would say the best way to check to understand which one's coming first is go with that first initial thought, because there's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
Directly second is your ego, and that is what's going to try to put out its foot and trip you to slow down your own process. But the thing is, you're doing it to yourself. because we've asked for this, quote unquote, what free will is, so that we could learn. I mean, we all go through that. But yeah, I think that was always the hardest. It's like, okay, I understand the ego. Well, I understand there's this duality, but like, how do I know which one's talking? Because the voices can sound very similar.
Yes.
But I always say, our ego comes from a place of panic. Now I'm going to miss the boat if I don't do it. My chance is gone. I said, that's ego. That's earthbound energy. Because you'll never miss a chance that doesn't exist. That's an illusion.
Right.
Because everything is exactly the way it needs to be. And everything comes around and goes around. And everything comes in cycles and rhythms. I would say timing, right? It's almost like the tide. It comes and it goes and it comes and it goes. It may not come to you tomorrow, but it will come back in because you may not have chosen at the time for whatever reason, and that's okay, but it will come back into your life. So it's more of the God or universe, Buddha, I call it, whatever you want to call it, will, and I personally say God, but it's all God consciousness, but... Mm.
There's a lot of dogma and religion around that word, so a lot of people have a negative connotation, or they don't understand it, so that's why it's a difficult concept when you have had any type of religious background or upbringing or...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I always, I'm a condition of my surroundings, so I was brought up with God, being Protestant, so I God, but is it a God that is got a big white beard and
sits up above us and judges us?
No. Yeah, it's just it's just the name that I'm familiar with. So some days I'll say universe, sometimes I'll say God, sometimes I'll say whatever is comes through in spirit is what I'm meant to say. I always say in that moment, but. Basically, when it comes back to understanding with your ego and your higher self, it's just more of your ego really is a point of panic and not allowing you, almost like I feel like I want to just stop in my tracks when my ego is talking to me. And my higher self is always for me clapping in the background. And it will always be that good friend that nudges saying, hey, remember me. I'm not pressuring you, but just remember. Yeah, and if just because you don't choose this right now, that's okay. Your ego, but don't worry, we'll come back around. Your ego will say, nope, you missed your chance. You screwed up, So that's always it. Like, it's always pleasant. It never pushes.
Never judges.
Your ego does that.
Your ego does that. Has expectations.
Yeah. Puts judgments on yourself and on others.
Wants to be
everything
right
has is in time, right? Yeah. If I don't do this, I'm not on time.
Yeah.
If I'm not, I'm looking at my watch. Well, if I don't do it by, I'm just joking when I say 2000. I'm not done by 2008. It's rough. I say seasons, but I'm not going to miss my boat on it. But I know I'm getting the point where I'm getting the swift kick, and they're saying, "Okay, Tara, we're going to have to switch the world up for you and get you to go." But ultimately, they're never going to make me to panic or say, "I don't want to do this," because that would not be from God conscious. I would be excited to say, "Ooh, new adventure," and basically where I'm going right now, moving to Calgary. But it's also given me the opportunity to be able to focus on the book in the afternoons and have to step back a little bit on the business. So,
it's interesting because I'm a feeling person. So when you say that you're clairvoyant and you're clairaudient, my primary sense is feeling.
Yeah.
Which, so when you talk about the ego versus the higher self, to me, it's a feeling.
That's right.
So I get caught up I know when it's my higher self, when it's just love and joy and bliss and peace. And it's it is. And then everything else, and even sometimes the enthusiasm, but if there's, any edge of anxiety around it, but there's also a positive ego too. So
absolutely
knowing that, that's also the thing that pushes us into gets us moving and stuff, because if it was just up to our higher self or our spirit, we're infinite. Well, you got lots of time. It's all illusion. It's all happening right now. Don't worry. You actually already wrote it. It's really right
that's
now.
Right. That's right. And that's what I say about the ego. And it's like, yeah, absolutely. It's a positive thing. And, I joke with my ego and I'll all the time. I'll be like, oh, there's my ego right there. But as long as without that fear, that little push, then I wouldn't question it and say, yeah, I can do it. No, Tara, you can do it. So it's a beautiful balance when we allow it when we allow to see the balance and we don't allow our ego to completely consume us to the point of being frozen. And we see that time and time again where we get so caught up, and it's almost like, you know, the world saying being a worry ward, you're worrying about everything. It's almost like, you know, John Lennon said, life is what's happening when you're busy doing other things. That kind of reminds me of how we can get consumed up in that world of that, you know, yes, it's an illusion, but we forget it's just everything, like living in the present. We, you know, the Buddhist way of looking at living in the now. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future, because right now is what's most important. And it's very true, because all these little signs are always around. And you know, and for you, yeah, you experience and feeling bliss, beauty. Even right now, I'm sitting in a hotel room and I'm thankful because it's a beautiful sunny day. I mean, that's bliss. And it's right in that moment. I've got a lovely person to speak with and lovely people listening to me. I mean, that is bliss. And I think that when we take that moment and realize that, we can quiet ourselves enough to truly hear our higher self. And but where I find when we're in a bustle and when people are just trying to learn, it makes it a little bit more difficult, because we can feed, and this is one thing I find a lot of my clients will struggle with, is that they're saying, well, what do I do when I work in a world of nothing but ego? My ego seems to, it's almost like I tend to almost want to go there, because I feel like I'm being drawn into it. And next thing I know, I'm gossiping with everybody else, and I'm going, and then I'll step back and go, why did I do that? And I say, don't beat yourself up. You're just learning, you know? But the key is recognizing it and what you choose to do with it. You can either say, okay, this happened. All right. I'm not going to beat myself up, because then that would be allowing yourself, you're getting right back to the, like a full circle, right? You can just come to say, okay, this happened. Next time, I'm going to try harder to avoid that coffee break. And I'm going to, you know, but it's things like that. If you don't, you know, but when you're going to be in situations that, yes, there are going to be times where your ego, and it comes back to say, beating ourselves up. And we tend to do that very hard, especially us intuitive people that are highly intuitive. We beat ourselves up more than I would say the average person does.
Because we have higher expectations. We know we already know where we're supposed to be in the sense of our evolution and who we are. And so we have a stronger sense of who we are. We have a stronger awareness of who we are. And so we quickly get to that place where we go, oh, crap.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. Oh, and it's so true. And, oh, my gosh, it's, yeah, I find it's such a beautiful path. And at the same time, we go, uh-oh, I slipped up. But you know what? And I think this, the beauty in it is that we can laugh and we can make humor out of it. And then we don't throw it into certain parts of our body for it to manifest.
Right.
And it's something we don't want.
That's what I always tell my clients, is just, you know, learn to laugh with your ego, because, you know, that's the one thing that disengages it. It kind of stops it in its tracks, because, you know, if you're laughing and having fun, which really is what life should be about.
That's right.
You know, what power does it have over you? And it's not here to give power, but it is here to help you be aware.
That's right. And that's the perfect exact words, and I've said that to my clients time and time and time again. When you realize it has no power over you, that's when the aha moment happens. It is, you're saying, it's the illusion, right? It reminds me of my favorite. Did you ever see the movie Labyrinth with David Bowie? Favorite. Towards the ending, he says, they talk about, I'm sure some listeners are going, what is that all about? It's a great Jim Henson movie. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. You'll love it. Anybody loving mystical fairy, it's just fantastic. At the end, there's a goblin king, and she's trying to save her brother, and she realizes towards the end, when he's saying, come, you know, come live with me here, and he's trying to distract her from saving the baby brother. And she starts to realize, and she says out loud, you have no power over me. So it's funny, if we look at it, it really is, he's the ego, and her higher self is then coming out. So I always say, it's funny, because every time I watch, and I'll watch it again, I watch again, Jim Henson was a very spiritual man, actually, and he puts in these little innuendos, and if you watch it, you'll start to see them. So it's actually quite fascinating on how that... it's true. It is. It's all about realizing it has no, and just like any addiction, when something has a power over you, you are allowing it to have power over you.
Yeah.
You know, and our ego can be an addiction. We can be egoaholics. Absolutely.
Well, our ego holds onto our addictions and helps
That's
them.
Right.
And helps just, them give power, helps them have power over us.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And, you know, I always say it's a beautiful thing. You know, I think to start off small, there's an exercise that I do with a lot of my clients. I have them look in the mirror, and I do this myself, and I always say, tried, tested, and true. If it works, it works. And to really try to balance out my own ego, I have myself and I have my clients do, is that the first couple times, you know, I say it takes about roughly about 2 months for your body to completely complete a change. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, today I come from my higher self and not from my ego. Mm. It's one thing for me to say it, but am I actually acting on it, right? Mm. So I'm going to look in the mirror and I'm going to say that again and again and again and again. It may have to take me 20 times, I'm just saying in general, but I'm saying for people, do it 20 times. It may feel silly the first couple times, but you're looking at yourself. You're affirming it. You're saying it to your heart. You're saying it to your whole body on all levels. You're going to feel the shift that happens in what we call dunja in Korean, or your solar plexus, where your pilot light, just where your belly button is. Mm-hmm. I always say that's where the soul resides. You're going to feel the shift, and that's, you know, I got it, I affirmed it. You will have the best day. I can guarantee it. And if you don't, send me an email. I stand by it. When you do that, you will come from higher self, and when you have people coming from ego, you won't engage. And it will just roll off. Because you've affirmed it. It's almost like, you know, you give out what you get back. Your energy completely shifts.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. You start seeing and talking with people that are coming from higher self, and it's really a good exercise. I really encourage all the listeners to do it. It really is. It's almost like the day you're walking in light loafers. Like, it's just, it's a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's about your consciousness. It's like waking up in the morning and I stub my toe. I can at least go, oh, that's it. I'm going to have a crappy day. Right?
Right.
It's what I'm visualizing. So I already know if I'm affirming within myself and I'm telling myself, higher self, okay, ego, I'm coming from higher self, from my ego, I've already affirmed the sort of day that I'm going to have. I'm allowing this to happen. I'm naturally, in talking about manifesting, I'm attracting that.
Hmm. Oh, that's fascinating. I'm going to just add to that.
And yeah.
It's an interesting addition because I'm... And I don't know if it's because I'm more feeling versus you, but I've heard this and I've heard it several times now, and people either get it in their solar plexus or they get it in their heart.
That's right. Yes.
And so I always get everything in my heart, but that I also have to acknowledge that there's also a lot of people that get it in their solar plexus, and I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly don't know what that means, but I do know that there seems to be both.
Oh,
and I
absolutely.
Know a lot of people that just teach, oh, it's only in the heart. But then I keep getting that there, other people are saying, well, it can be the heart or the solar plexus. And
right.
I totally resonate with that.
Yep.
So yes. It's interesting. And I don't know what that means. And I don't know that it means anything.
I don't think, I would have to, I would honestly say my thought process, and even what I'm hearing is heard right out loud as you're saying that, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It depends on where your center lies. I always say to people, you know, there's certain parts of our bodies that we're strongest and where we're weakest.
Right.
Now, I don't want to affirm it, but I know, I'll use, for example, myself, my weakest point where I tend to put my emotions when I'm not, if I'm overdoing it, is in my sacral.
Mm.
That seems to be my quote-unquote sensitive issue.
Okay.
Some people it's heart, some people it's throat. I always say there tends to be one on each. And when I run my hands and I scan people, there always seems to be one that no matter what, there's a little bit of vibration. I always say always focus on that area and energize it, because it's just, it's almost like, you know, when we look at, like, nothing is truly perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we may have a beautiful quilt, but there's this one little area that has just a little bit of a niche, but it makes it perfect anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always a one little area, a little bit less. It's just my right arm is stronger than my left arm. my left, right?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. And I always say you'll always have two strong points. So for you, your heart chakra is probably the strongest in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you're going to feel your shift.
Mm-hmm.
I could, you know, when you're talking about, I know people too, they'll feel the shift in their third eye. People that are extremely clairvoyant and see but don't hear. So they kind of feel this pressure right in their right between their eyebrows.
Right.
And they'll go, oh, okay, I'm on. I'm tuned. You know, for me, it's always been right in my stomach. I kind of, or like right where my solar, right behind my belly button. It's just almost like a whop, like a heavy. but not like a, it doesn't hurt or anything. Right. It's just more of like a pressure saying, okay, I'm on now. I'm ready to rock and roll, basically, pretty much. But you know what? We all have different life paths. We're all born with intuitive gifts. Some of us one or more than others. But it doesn't make us special or better. All it is because all this can be learned. It just takes dedication, just like anything else, because it took me a long time to understand my physical body, because to me it was a foreign concept. Like for you being a feeler, I'm naturally not a feeler.
Right.
So that was, I mean, I talk about dragging yourself through the mud and being stubborn too, because I would say, what am I supposed to feel this? What am I supposed to feel?
You know? Right.
I'm not getting the I'm getting the message, but I'm like, so my message is, okay, you're blocked in here. And I'm like, okay, but I'm not feeling it. But then of course I had to come from a place of cleaning out the chakras and understanding that. And once I was able, and now it's like riding a bike. Once you get it, you'll never forget.
Yeah.
It's just it's always been there. I just had to reprogram my process because I had tuned off at a certain point about that. I allowed my physical body to close off.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I always say, well, I'm clairsentient. I'm not clairvoyant. I'm not clairaudient. But of course,
are, dear.
Well, of course I am. Like I now that I understand my feelings more, I've started to develop the other senses
as
well.
Right.
But
it's
I will still never. It won't even. Like it all happens so automatically now, I don't even think about it. But yet I still validate that, you know, what I am is clairsentient. Like I still, that's what I do. I feel.
Yeah.
But yet I know all of the things happen because I do see and I do, but it's not as strong as my feelings. So, but yet it's still there and it all happens.
Yeah. And all of us. And that's why I say every single one of us has that. We just have to tap into it. And like I said, it's dedication. I'm not going to sit here and say, it's not
breeze.
A walk in the park, you know. But once we get to that point of being disciplined, yes, you can do all of it.
Yeah.
You just have to allow yourself to do it and put the quote-unquote, not the real time as in time man-made, but being allowed to create balance to say, okay, if you want to set a schedule for yourself, say, this is something you truly want to do, if you truly want to see, and I've got a lot of kids saying, you know, I've got this, but I truly want to see what you see. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll show you, but I'm going to be on you on your homework. I'm known as a little bit of a toughie. So, but these are the sort of things, it's just like, once you turn it on, you can't turn it off.
Right.
Like, it's not something that you can have downtime, but at the same time, like, I get woken up at 3 o'clock all the time, nonstop. Used
How
to be,
thoughtful of them.
Yeah. You know, I was laughing. My girlfriend, Cindy, it was about 2 months ago on the other side. She came through and I just remember opening my eyes. I'm like, okay, Cindy, I love you, but I'm so tired. You know, can we talk later or whatever it may be? And she just stood there and she smiled and I just went back to sleep, you know.
Aww.
But, you know, I always say that's the, it's not actually the witching hour, but it is the most active time is usually around 3 o'clock.
Because it's the quietest time.
That's right. The quietest time. So I tend to. It tends to be very active around that time. Of course, I'm going. I just want to sleep, guys. But they're pretty good about it.
I'm really glad they're not doing that to me.
Yeah. Well, I hope I don't put that out there now because now
that you better not have.
I'll get this email, Tara. Now I'm on board because you know now they're like great.
Okay, you're in trouble now.
Now she knows that we can come to her at 3 o'clock. Perfect.
Oh, you'll be in big trouble.
I know. I'll get the email. Then I'll have to talk to my guides, talk to your guides. And I'll be like, you'll have to apologize to her guides. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
We're not liking that at all.
Yeah.
So don't even think about it. Do you
nope.
hear me?
Yeah. Nope. Cancer, clear, delete, right? Gone completely. Yeah. We didn't even have that conversation.
Erase
we'll pass
the
that right through.
Whole hard drive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you know, with all that being said, it's I really am. I'm really starting to see the shift. And you know, I look back when I was younger, and I'm sure you for you same. You know, there was no at the time, which it was meant to be for me. In that time, there wasn't an outlet. But there's so many beautiful spiritual workers out there right now. I mean, just so many, and we have all these amazing intuitive children coming through. I mean, by far. What my own consciousness or my gifts are, oh my goodness, like it's just, and so, you know, a lot of these parents, and I think it's just so beautiful, I've been coaching a lot of these parents on how to deal with that and how actually helping them to help form their egos. Because if I look back, and I'm a definite advocate about if we can get them young, especially the real sensitive ones, on how their ego forms, because we are a product of our surroundings, right? So we can either feed the ego, depending on what we're around, or not. So if it's just such a blessing to have these parents coming around and saying, okay, what can we do? I'm like, hallelujah, you know, like it just sets it up for such an amazing journey. And I find it's like, instead of making a mountain, it's a molehill. Or sometimes, you know, in certain situations, it can be, it just depends on the view and having from a young age, understanding their ego. What a great gift.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I think that has a lot to do with my journey.
Yeah.
And really educating and helping families with intuitive children and even, you know, at any age, but I find that, and especially teenagers. I mean, I look at the stuff now and I think to myself, my God, how could you not be ego raving? They were just fed with it. Media, gossip, it's just, it's all around you. Just even today, when walking around and actually... It just billboards and these sort of things, and I think to myself, it's not a bad thing, but I disconnect myself to an extent where, you know, I don't watch the news, I don't, you know, I'm on a need-to-know basis. If I need to know, they'll let me know.
Exactly. I'm exactly the same way. I don't watch TV, I don't read the news,
no.
I don't listen to the news.
No,
I just have a radio program.
Yeah, and that's perfect. And these are the sort of things we'd say, listen to this. It's uplifting, you know. I'm not trying to tell you to lock your doors because everything's out to get you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and it just keeps us in a state of fear and straight ego. So, you know, but it's funny, like, when walking around, it's just, you know, I don't even realize that we're in a sense, I don't want to say brainwashed, but it's just these energy waves are coming at you and you're going, maybe I do want chocolate ice cream. You know, like, but you go then, I go, but no, I don't, you know, but it's amazing, you know, the more that, anyway, it's fascinating. And it's,
I so agree. I mean, I think it's really hard with the media, and I think that's why I made such a conscious choice of, you know, I moved and I said, I looked at my TV and I went, okay, you're staying, you know, I know you will find a good home, maybe not as patient as me, but you will find a good home. And but it's true. Like, I know that I will know what I need to know because, you know,
they will show it.
Big things, you know, pretty much make themselves known.
That's right.
And other things, you know, I don't need to know.
That's right.
And I do think there's brainwashing. I think it's very, Eckhart Tolle talks about, you know, how the media, it's not so much brainwashing, but it's definitely, it feeds on the ego.
Oh, by far.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a subliminal messaging.
Yeah.
That's, I think, more of like, maybe I wouldn't say brainwashing, but I don't think their intent is to do it, but they're like, yes, we can do messaging this way because, yeah, it's a money-making product or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you will feel special.
It will fulfill me.
Yes.
If I get this,
lifestyle.
I will feel this.
Yes.
If I'm going to have that chocolate ice cream, I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
You know? But no, I'm going to feel like crap after because it's full of all these toxins and sugars. They're going to drop me. They're going to send me up and drop me low, you know?
Exactly.
You know, it's just, it's fascinating. But yes, so the new earth, I've been hearing all about it. I'm actually on a notebook rule because
you know what? I'm exactly the same way when I'm writing.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what you're going through. But after I got back from my retreat, I kept getting, you got to read this book, you got to read this book. And so I picked it up and I was blown away. I just assumed, you know, Oprah's doing it. It's, you know, going to be very mainstream. There's nothing that I'm going to hear that's going to be any different. I read, you know, The Power of Now. I thought it was amazing, but, you know, it wasn't earth shattering.
Yeah.
Apparently I wasn't ready. Apparently my ego was really, really good at not letting me see what I needed to see.
You're like, well, whatever. Yeah.
I thought it was amazing, but I wasn't,
you
know, but this book just, it sang to me. It actually, it was my language and it sang to me. And I was just, wow.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to read that when I'm off my notebook roll. Yeah. I've got these books that I keep looking at, and I'm like, no, Tara, no, you got to walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's true, and there's a lot in there about the ego, and so it will, Yeah. You know, it can, yeah, I know exactly why you
have
a notebook.
It's all from the source. I always say to people, you know, we all say the same thing, and it's just in different ways.
Absolutely.
And some of us are able to articulate to so-and-so and get it, and some of like we'll have some people that may read the New Earth and go, I don't understand it.
Oh, for sure.
And then you have others, and I think it's just that's kind of what God conscious that we're trying to touch everybody on each level.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as like, it's not the same message, it's just the message said in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the beauty of us being all spiritual paths, is that we all have different life paths, and we all have different life purposes, or, you know, it could be some of us are here from compassion, forgiveness, whatever it may be, or it could be multiple.
Mm-hmm.
But how we choose and where we are in our path, some things will jump out of us quicker just because of depending where we're at. And I always find, and I think the numbers just are increasing and increasing and pushing the numbers and messages out so that we are able to evolve, I don't say quicker, but
I think we are. I think everything
faster,
is
almost
up.
Like just,
yeah.
It's almost like I'm finding now with a lot of, and I'm going to ask you if you're finding the same. When doing channeling for people, I'm finding a lot now that even before the question has been asked, I'm already answering it halfway, like not even, they're not even close to being done.
Hmm.
So like I'm getting the message, like just before they'd finished their question, like I usually, when I channel, I go right through I'm like, I know you've got questions. They know, they're going to tell me what you want to know, but I'll go through it. And I'll say, you've got a couple questions at the end. If you want to ask for friends and stuff, because I like to stick directly with one person, but I don't mind if they want to ask about friends after. But I'm finding lately, it's things are happening at such a speed that before it even comes out, I'm saying, blah, 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 and they're going, they're looking at me and I'm like, they already knew what you wanted to say. It's almost like, we know the veil is getting thinner anyway,
mm-hmm.
between here and the other side, but yeah, things are really speeding up. It's actually, I'd say within the last 2 years,
yeah.
I've seen a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. And I think this, just even coming into 2008 and these past 4 months,
yeah.
There's just been an increase. It's like people, I'm quite in awe of how quickly and powerfully things are moving forward, and we seem to be really reaching that critical mass point where, you know, there are becoming more people, you know, becoming aware, whether they're, you know, they're waking up. They're
That's
waking
right.
up, and what stage they're at doesn't matter, but the fact that so many people on the planet are beginning to wake up is pretty phenomenal.
It's great.
Yeah.
It really is. Well, we are coming to 2012, my dear. That's a whole nother subject. But
yeah. Oh, well, we'll have to have you on for that one. But
oh, absolutely. Okay. I love talking about 2012.
Oh, okay. There's so much out there about what it is and what it means. So I'd love to have your take on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. Anytime.
Mm.
Yeah, I just, you know, there's so many beautiful things, and yeah, things are coming in rapid speeds, and we're getting so many floods of intuitive children coming through, like, just with gifts that I'm just, whew,
it's
by far none, just knocks the socks off of me.
Yeah, and I think it's going to continue.
And it's going to.
We had to have the people that pioneered it,
yep.
You know, so that they could come in safe.
That's right.
Be who they're going to be. I mean, it's going to be quite a ride for the next 10 years.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Like, it's just in
beginning
great speed.
The wave.
my slogan, actually, for 2008 is, I always get it mixed up, but I keep saying to people, don't try to conceive, just receive. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense. Your mind cannot conceive, so just receive.
Right.
Because it's like your mind cannot conceive what's happening and what's going on around us because it's happening and the shift is happening on such great numbers. So it's almost like just receive it, don't think it.
Right.
Allow it to flow.
Right.
So, or 2008 is going to be great.
Do you want to talk about angels for a little bit before
sure.
we end this?
Sure.
So tell me a little bit about this work that you do when you channel. How does that work?
Sure. Before, when I used to channel when I was younger, before I was 19, one thing that I had, when I was talking about, with, you know, that not so happy spirit that was in.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing that when I got down on my knees that day and I said, you know, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. But I said, one thing is, I don't want to see that again. I don't want to be around that. That was awful. He was very unhappy. He didn't mean to harm, but that sort of experience fit, like, physically, and I kind of can understand what you mean by feeling. Like, I felt awful every time I was in there. I was so sad. Said, but I knew it wasn't me, so I had to be like, you know, take this off of me. This is not my energy field.
Right.
So when that happened, I said to them, okay, I don't have to deal with that realm. So I only deal with angels and I say ascended masters and people, spirit guides, and whoever's around them. I call it their divine team. So everybody's divine team is different. So when people come in for sessions with me or over the phone or however we choose to do it, they'll sit down with me and I'll have them to do deep breathing exercises to get them present and getting their higher, get them to connect, because we cut off our connection when we hold our breath, because our breath is, we come into this life with our first breath, we leave with our last, right? So when we're not breathing, we can't hear and we have a hard time seeing, because that's when we allow our earthbound energy to kind of drop us down. So we do the breathing exercises and then after that, I let it flow. So depending on the person, I always say I have no expectations or limitations when it comes in, because it's totally up to them on what's going to happen. So some people I see more and I don't hear as much, so I'm doing a lot more of, okay, I'm seeing this. It's almost like snap pictures, or if I can't hear them properly, they'll write it out for me. And so I physically see, but I also see it in my third eye. So it's almost like watching a movie. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, and then when I'm hearing, it's a different voice altogether. So depending on, some of my clients will say, some of them, their angels will speak to me. Now, angel means messenger in Greek, okay? So I would love to sit here and say that they've got fluffy white wings and all that jazz. Yes, they will come looking like that.
Because we expect
But they're a golden, huge, bright energy, because we're energy. When we pass, our bodies stay here, right? So we're this lovely, vibrating, white energy. They have a completely different energy than we do, and it's larger. Once I started to understand that, now they only come to me like that. But when I have deceased loved ones come through, they'll come to me the way that they look best. So if they thought they looked good in their 40s, that's when they will come looking like this. You know, it's kind of funny, but or if grandma comes in and I'm sitting with a daughter first and the mom comes in, grandma will come in looking like she's in her 70s or 60s for me to describe this is how she looks like and her name. And then the mom comes in, which would have been her mom. She'll come to me again looking like she was in her 40s-ish, because that's how she would have remembered her. So, like I said, it really is up to who's the energy that's sitting across from me, because that's basically what I'm picking up. I don't completely, I always say it, when I'm teaching my clairvoyant students too, it's like, you know, it's not about you, so don't try to, you know, you have to completely disconnect. You have to disconnect in the sense that whatever comes through, just say it, because it isn't about you. Because the clearer it happens, the more that your client will get. And it may be just as simple as apple, but that's what grandpa called that person.
Right.
You know, or I'm seeing a purple daisy. That could be like, well, you know. But that was something, you know, that was put on the casket or whatever. Some clients are clearer than others. It really depends on the person. With that being said, a lot of my clients, when I'm teaching my intuitive students and some of the children that I see, it is a lot easier to teach with them that way. But once again, and it just happens, but the more that you do it, the clearer it happens, I find, for a lot of people. For me, it's not that I don't have any problems with it. It's just more of this is just something I do every day, day in, day out, that it just is like boom, boom, snap of the fingers, bang, 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 bang. But when you're just trying to understand that part, it does take a little bit of time for people.
Sure.
So that's kind of, and then with angels, we all have guardian angels that are with us. Some of us have more than, I'd say we all have one for sure. Depending on what we're going through, we may have 10, 20, it depends on what the situation is. And then sometimes we have other people's angels that are hanging around with us. It's funny, it's almost like you have an entourage when you're walking down the street.
Yes, and the old saying about how We're in a tiny little planet with 6 billion people, and everybody feels they're alone.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And people say, do they see me when I'm in the shower? Yes. Oh, no. I said, they have no sexual organs, sweetie. They don't care about those sort of things. Only we do.
Yes.
No, but it's in anything. We all can connect with angels. And the thing is, just ask. They will. That's what they're waiting for. I say, they're just waiting on the sidelines. They cannot interfere unless you ask. When they interfere, it's what we call miracles.
Right.
It's because, and that's the only way, but that's part and parcel of our deal here.
Yeah. We have free will. They don't. They have to wait for us to ask.
That's right. Yeah. They cannot impose.
Yeah.
That's why fate, karma-wise, we say Hindu, but I will not read somebody unless they come to me, because that puts me in a situation that it's not an energy you want to mess around with. Yeah. Even though I may get something, I have to be asked for it.
Right. No,
because
yeah.
It's not something I don't play. Like it's like doing the weed. You just don't play with that stuff.
Right. No.
There's a certain code to the conduct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everything is in complete balance.
Yeah. Well, Tara, what a blessing this has been, and what a great honor it has to have been speaking with you.
Thank you, and mine too. What a wonderful host I have, and what a beautiful energy you are. And I and you must know that you're an earth angel, my dear.
Well, I
earth messenger. Know
yes.
that.
Earth messenger. Yes.
That's why I say you can call everybody. Everybody around you could be angels.
Yeah.
And some of us are more messengers than anything. So yes, you can be an earth angel, not in the sense of what a real angel is, but you are a messenger. So yes, you could be an earth angel. That's what I say to people. I'm like, yeah, call yourself an angel. You're a messenger. You're just not golden. You're a white light. That's okay. It's just a word.
Yeah, truly. So tell people how they can get a hold of you. And I know that while you're in Calgary, you will be doing Skype or something similar.
Yes, absolutely. Right now, I still have my phone line, my business line. It's 613-233-2227. And you can also go on my website, which is www.theangelconsultants.com. And you can also give you my other email. Better off to catch me on this one is tara@whitelightwellness, and wellness has two L's, .com. I will be doing, I will be continuing with my clients that live in the States and the UK. I continue doing phone, but I will be doing Skype. This is a new program. I'm going to be walking a lot of people through it. And the best part about it, it's a way to download it. And you can actually download, as long as you've got a camera or a webcam on your laptop, you can. So that's kind of neat. So I'm really looking.
That got beeped out because of my phone. Can you just say that last bit again?
Sorry. Sure. Skype is a program that I'm actually downloading on my computer to be able to do work with my clients in Ottawa. And now I'm going to be introducing it with my clients in the States and overseas. And what it is you can download it for free. As long as you have a webcam or a camera built into your computer, you can download it. And I'm going to walk everybody through it when they send me emails. I'm going to send out the mass email. And it's a great way to communicate and be able to talk to each other and see each other.
Right.
So,
and if you don't have a video cam, just as long as
you
have a microphone.
Hear.
Yes.
Yeah, you can still hear.
Yeah.
Which is even better. So it's a great way to communicate, great way to do readings, and there's no fees.
No, exactly.
For both ends. So really excited about that. Mm-hmm. There is a possibility I may be looking into space. Again, I'm not sure yet. I'm letting it happen, mm-hmm. but I've been approached. Body Talk Wellness in Northwest Calgary. So I'm going to see what happens with that.
Is it Andrea Carter?
Jennifer, actually.
Okay.
Jennifer Becker.
Okay.
But I think she may work there. That rings a bell, my dear.
Yeah. Well, she's on next week, so and she, I believe she's in Calgary. So.
And Body Talk Wellness?
Yeah.
Yeah. See? I have been, you know, so those are, that is, I'm letting it play out. So I'm actually going to meet up with her when I'm settled here. And we have a friend in common, Diane Lassiter. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, so she's another spiritual worker in Ottawa. So. Well, that may be a possibility. Mm-hmm. So keep your eyes peeled. That could happen. So
there you go.
It's not up to us all the time, right? As much
no,
as I'm saying, okay,
not.
I'm going to work from home. I may do, you know, a couple weeks in office. So, but that is my coordinates, my dear. And I look forward to hearing any emails Please send them through, and great blessings to all of you, and wish everyone great happiness and peace.
There you go.
And it's been my honor to serve.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what a great show. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Lori.
All right.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.